Chapter 53. I shall return as poet at my baptismal font. Dante's words echoed repeatedly in Langdon's mind as he led Sienna northward along the narrow passageway known as Via dello Studio. Their destination lay ahead, and with every step Langdon was feeling more confident that they were on the right course and had left their pursuers behind. The gates are open to you, but you must hurry. As they neared the end of the chasm-like alleyway, Langdon could already hear the low thrum of activity ahead. Abruptly, the cavern on either side of them gave way, spilling them out into a sprawling expanse, the Piazza del Duomo. This enormous plaza, with its complex network of structures, was the ancient religious center of Florence. More of a tourist center nowadays, the piazza was already bustling with tour buses and throngs of visitors crowding around Florence's famed cathedral. Having arrived on the south side of the piazza, Langdon and Sienna were now facing the side of the cathedral with its dazzling exterior of green, pink, and white marble. As breathtaking in its size as it was in the artistry that had gone into its construction, the cathedral stretched off in both directions to seemingly impossible distances, its full length nearly equal to that of the Washington Monument laid on its side. Despite its abandonment of traditional monochromatic stone filigree in favor of an unusually flamboyant mix of colors, the structure was pure Gothic, classic, robust, and enduring. Admittedly, Langdon, on his first trip to Florence, had found the architecture almost gaudy. On subsequent trips, however, he found himself studying the structure for hours at a time, strangely captivated by its unusual aesthetic effects, and finally appreciating its spectacular beauty. Il Duomo, or more formally, the Cathedral of Santa Maria del Fiore, in addition to providing a nickname for Ignazio Busoni, had long provided not only a spiritual heart to Florence, but centuries of drama and intrigue. The building's volatile past ranged from long and vicious debates over Vasari's much-despised fresco of the Last Judgment on the dome's interior to the hotly disputed competition to select the architect to finish the dome itself. Filippo Brunelleschi had eventually secured the lucrative contract and completed the dome, the largest of its kind at the time. And to this day, Brunelleschi himself can be seen in sculpture, seated outside the Palazzo dei Canonici, staring contentedly up at his masterpiece. This morning, as Langdon raised his eyes skyward to the famed red-tiled dome that had been an architectural feat of its era, he recalled the time he had foolishly decided to ascend the dome only to discover that its narrow, tourist-crammed staircases were as distressing as any of the claustrophobic spaces he'd ever encountered. Even so, Langdon was grateful for the ordeal he'd endured while climbing Brunelleschi's dome, since it had encouraged him to read an entertaining Ross King book of the same name.
"Robert," Sienna said, "are you coming?"
Langdon lowered his gaze from the dome, realizing he had stopped in his tracks to admire the architecture. "Sorry about that." They continued moving, hugging the perimeter of the square. The cathedral was on their right now, and Langdon noted that tourists were already flowing out of its side exits, checking the site off their to-see lists. Up ahead rose the unmistakable shape of a campanile, the second of the three structures in the cathedral complex. Commonly known as Giotto's Bell Tower, the campanile left no doubt that it belonged with the cathedral beside it. Adorned in the identical pink, green, and white facing stones, the square spire climbed skyward to a dizzying height of nearly 300 feet. Langdon had always found it amazing that this slender structure could remain standing all these centuries, through earthquakes and bad weather, especially knowing how top-heavy it was, with its apex belfry supporting more than 20,000 pounds of bells. Sienna walked briskly beside him, her eyes nervously scanning the skies beyond the campanile, clearly searching for the drone, but it was nowhere to be seen. The crowd was fairly dense even at this early hour, and Langdon made a point of staying in the thick of it.